Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
Let's all barrage U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland with a message to drop the charges against WikiLeaks founder, editor, journalist Assange, who, if extradited to the United States, would face 175 years in prison for exposing evidence of U.S. war crimes, and the chilling of a free press might never thaw out.
To discuss the Assange case, I'm joined by Marjorie Cohn, Professor Emerita at Thomas Jefferson School of Law, former president of the National Lawyers Guild, member of the Bureau of the International Association of Democratic Lawyers. Cohn testified before Congress about the Bush torture policy. Her books include The United States and Torture, Interrogation, Incarceration, and Abuse. Marjorie Cohn, the question really is, what actually is behind first Trump and now the Biden administration's pursuit of espionage charges and the extradition of Australian citizen Julian Assange?
We really need to go back to Obama, because he prosecuted more whistleblowers under the Espionage Act than all prior presidents combined. But when Obama's Department of Justice looked at Julian Assange, who had revealed evidence of U.S. war crimes in 2010 and 2011, they decided not to indict Julian Assange because of what was called the New York Times problem. That is, Julian Assange is a journalist and a publisher. He's the founder of WikiLeaks. And the U.S. has never indicted a journalist for publishing classified information. This is what journalists do all the time who are involved in investigative journalism. Obama declined to prosecute Julian Assange. Trump, however, did. It turns out now from a new report in Yahoo News that the publication of CIA hacking tools called Vault 7 by WikiLeaks, which was called the largest data loss in CIA history, raised the hackles of Trump's CIA director, Mike Pompeo. In 2017, Pompeo called WikiLeaks a non-state hostile intelligence service, and CIA and government officials hatched what were called secret war plans to abduct and kill Julian Assange. Some senior CIA and Trump administration officials requested options for ways to assassinate him. Trump asked whether the CIA could assassinate Assange and provide him, quote, options, unquote, for how to do it. Pompeo wanted to engage in extraordinary rendition, which they used during the War on Terror. The CIA would illegally send them to the CIA black sites where they were tortured. This scenario that Pompeo and his minions were toying with was that the CIA would break into the Ecuadorian embassy in London, where Assange was staying under a grant of asylum, and clandestinely fly him to the United States to stand trial. But other people in the agency wanted to assassinate Assange outright by poisoning or shooting him to avoid the hassle of kidnapping him. So in 2018, the Trump administration issued a secret indictment against Assange, and the first indictment only had one charge under the Computer Hacking Act. They're trying to paint Julian Assange as a hacker so that there wouldn't be First Amendment issues, which is what Obama was worried about, the New York Times problem, that if he prosecuted Assange, then he'd also have to prosecute the New York Times, the Washington Post, etc., who did the same thing WikiLeaks did, publish classified information. And this would be a threat to the First Amendment freedom of the press. Trump thought, if we can paint him as a hacker, then he doesn't have the First Amendment protection that a journalist has. Then the second indictment, called the superseding indictment, had 17 more charges under the Espionage Act, for which Julian Assange is facing 170 years in prison, 5 years for the hacking charge. And they realized the hacking charge from the initial indictment was weak. So the FBI, which is part of the Department of Justice, collaborated with an informant named Siggy Thorderson to paint Assange as a hacker instead of a journalist. Thorderson later admitted to the Icelandic newspaper Stundin that he lied about his allegations that Assange was a hacker in return for immunity from prosecution by the FBI. Bringing you up to the present, there was a 3-week extradition hearing in London before a district court magistrate, a British district judge, in September of last year. And at the conclusion of that hearing, with lots of testimony from lots of witnesses, the district court judge, Vanessa Baratzer, denied Trump's request to extradite Julian Assange to the United States for trial on the indictment. She found that there was a high likelihood that Assange would commit suicide if he was extradited to the U.S., where he would be held under onerous prison conditions. The Trump administration appealed Baratzer's denial of extradition. In comes Joe Biden. But instead of dismissing Trump's appeal, following the same tack that Obama had followed, Biden is vigorously pursuing the appeal of the denial of extradition.
How do you account for the politic involved in Biden pursuing this? This doesn't seem to be politically prudent for this administration. What have I got wrong?
Let's look at exactly why Julian Assange was indicted. It stems from WikiLeaks' revelations of U.S. war crimes in 2010 and 2011 committed in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Guantanamo. They included 400,000 field reports about the Iraq War, 15,000 unreported deaths of Iraqi civilians, and evidence of the systematic torture, rape, and murder after U.S. forces handed over detainees to a notorious Iraqi torture squad. They also, these are WikiLeaks revelations, included the Afghan war log, 90,000 reports revealing more civilian casualties by coalition forces than the U.S. military had reported, and they contained the Guantanamo files, 779 secret reports revealing that 150 innocent people had been imprisoned there for years and documenting the torture and abuse of 800 men and boys in violation of the Geneva Conventions and the Convention Against Torture, both of which the U.S. has ratified, making them part of U.S. law under the Supremacy Clause. But the most notable release by WikiLeaks was the 2007 collateral murder video, which depicts a U.S. Army Apache helicopter gunship in Baghdad target and fire on unarmed civilians. At least 18 civilians were killed, including two Reuters journalists and a man trying to rescue the wounded. Two children were injured. Then a U.S. Army tank drives over one of the bodies, cutting it in half. The collateral murder video depicts three separate war crimes prohibited by the Geneva Conventions and the U.S. Army Field Manual. Biden continues to commit war crimes, the most recent one, the drone attack in Afghanistan that killed 10 civilians, including 7 children, and his use of drones in other countries, and his threats to use force against other countries, which also is illegal under the UN Charter. Chances are Joe Biden doesn't want revelations of his war crime to be made public.
Another level, and that is the press itself. You have an Australian citizen indicted on espionage charges from the U.S. and a U.K. judge that has already denied that the extradition to the U.S. for Julian Assange to be tried under the Espionage Act. What in heck's name is going on with the media that they haven't even smeared him this day? That is Julian Assange. But rather there is a zero nation on a major international event of historic proportions and worldwide concern. There is not a single word that has appeared in the New York Times. So why has the media not risen to the occasion? There's a complete whiteout.
I would call it the corporate media, because certainly the alternative media, Truthout, where I write, and other alternative media sites have covered it extensively. The corporate media, which includes the New York Times, the Washington Post, has not been covering it. In 2019, when Trump's indictment of Assange became public, you had the New York Times, the Washington Washington Post, USA Today, the Wall Street Journal, all coming out and saying, no, this can't happen. This is a journalist. You can't prosecute him.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, there has been a conspiracy of silence. And I just noticed today that the New York Times does have an article on the appeals hearing that took place on Wednesday and Thursday in London. And the AP has a release. Other papers like The Guardian, The Independent, Al Jazeera have covered it. I don't know if this means that other corporate media will cover it as well, but it's really an outrage that there's been such a blackout.
The coverage that has just appeared has again been subservient. This has enormous implications for corporate media as well. After all, we can go back to things like the publication of the Pentagon Papers. It happened with Daniel Ellsberg. So you would think for self-preservation and for some sense of the independence of the Fourth Estate, that there would be some relative sense of self-preservation and the understanding of the First Amendment issues and the issues of press independence, notwithstanding the actual funders of the mass media.
You're right. And in fact, when the Obama Justice Department was considering, they've convened a secret grand jury to decide whether to bring charges against Julian Assange for publishing evidence of U.S. war crimes in 2010 and 2011. During that time, Charlie Savage of the New York Times wrote, WikiLeaks didn't do anything different than what the Times had done, and the First Amendment right to freedom of the press was at stake. And then, as I said, in 2019, the corporate media came out and blasted what the Trump administration was doing. But there is, as you say, a whiteout. Recently, they have not covered the lies, this informant that the FBI was working with, who later recanted, this new report by Yahoo News that gives lots of details about what the CIA under Pompeo was considering doing to Julian Assange. That hasn't even been covered very much. There is some coverage of this appeals hearing, but we'll see. We should have a decision from the High Court. There are two judges, appeals court judges in London, who heard the appeal by the Biden administration. And in weeks, I don't know how many, we should get an opinion from them. If the High Court affirms the Baratzer District Court judge's denial of extradition, then Biden administration can appeal to the UK Supreme Court. If Assange loses at the High Court, he can appeal to the UK Supreme Court. And if he loses there, he could appeal to the European Court of Human Rights. This could go on for several years, and meanwhile, he is in very, very fragile mental and physical health.
To catch us up on the kind of conditions that Julian Assange is being held under, which have impacted on his physical and mental health.
For 7 years, he was living in the Ecuadorian embassy in London under a grant of asylum because Sweden was trying to extradite him on trumped up sexual assault charges, which were later dismissed when the complaining witnesses recanted. There was good reason to believe that Sweden would extradite him to the United States. He was actually given asylum in the Ecuadorian embassy in London. He had several serious health issues, and the British government, working hand in glove with the U.S., would not allow him to leave the Ecuadorian embassy to go to the hospital without arresting him. So he stayed there, and that led former UN Special Rapporteur on Torture, Niels Meltzer, to describe Assange as having suffered prolonged exposure to psychological torture. For the last 2 years, Assange has been held in the top security Belmarsh prison in London, practically in solitary confinement, has been denied a lot of access to his lawyers, the excuse being the COVID virus. But the appeal here that the Biden administration is arguing that he should be extradited, the reason that the district judge found that he was likely to commit suicide if he was extradited to the United States and incarcerated here is because a lot of evidence came out at the 3-week extradition hearing in September that Assange in the U.S. would be held in a top security prison in Florence, Colorado, and be subject to special administrative measures or SAMs, which keep him in virtual isolation. What the Biden administration is doing disingenuously, they didn't raise it at the 3-week evidentiary hearing. hearing where the district judge could have, there could have been cross-examination and the judge could have assessed everybody's credibility. Now, at the 11th hour on appeal for the first time, the Biden administration is saying, well, we're going to give you assurances that if Assange is sent to the United States, he won't be held at ADX prison and he won't be subject to these special administrative measures unless he does something that the CIA thinks warrants it. Well, of course, the CIA is the same organization that was plotting to assassinate him or kidnap him. And not only that, there was plenty of evidence that even if he is not held at this ADX prison in Colorado and subject to these special administrative measures, he would be held at another maximum security prison that's just as bad under administrative detention that is just as bad as the special administrative measures. And it was this same kind of incarceration, the pretrial administrative segregation that Chelsea Manning was held in when she tried to commit suicide. Any way you cut it, there was expert testimony at the extradition hearing in September that Julian Assange suffers from recurrent depressive disorder and Asperger's syndrome that would lead him to commit suicide, particularly if and when he is held in these onerous conditions if he's extradited to the United States.
Marjorie, procedurally, how can, at this juncture, the U.S. argue anything relevant to psychiatric expert Kopelman's evidence? How can they argue that on appeal, that the judge should have excluded Kopelman's evidence? I don't even understand procedurally, much less substantively, how they can proceed with that argument. And is that the crux of what is actually being argued at this point?
Yes, that's a significant issue on appeal, because Baratzer, the district judge, relied largely on the testimony of Professor Kopelman for her conclusion that there was a high likelihood Assange would commit suicide and therefore she denied extradition. But the Biden administration is arguing that the judge, Baratzer, the district judge, should have totally disregarded Kopelman's evidence because in his preliminary report, Kopelman did not mention Stella Morris, who is Assange's, Julian Assange's partner, and the two young children they had. The reason he didn't is because there were real risks to her safety and privacy and that of the children, including extreme measures of surveillance against Assange in the Ecuadorian embassy. He was secretly surveilled, including his private privilege attorney-client communications. Stella Morris and her children have been targeted. The discussions about the kidnapping or poisoning of Assange all led Kopelman to be very concerned about her safety, so he didn't mention her name in the first report. Now, in his later report and in his testimony at the September hearing, he did mention it, and the judge said that I understand why he didn't disclose this. It was an understandable human response to her predicament, and in short, I found Kopelman's opinion to be impartial and dispassionate. I was given no reason to doubt his motives or the reliability of his evidence. Not only that, it was corroborated by another defense witness, Mr. Dealey, who corroborated Kopelman's evidence, and also Professor Keith Rick, the UK's acknowledged expert on the ethical duties of psychiatric experts, concluded that Kopelman had acted professionally, responsibly, and exercised appropriate and reasonable caution in not disclosing Assange's relationship with Morris and the children in his first report. It is this and these so-called assurances, which are really conditional assurances that the Biden administration is making that he won't be held in onerous conditions, that are the two main appeal points that the Biden administration is raising now in their appeal of the denial of extradition.
I must admit, every time I hear the word SAM, so many of us, we go back to the prosecution of attorney Lynn Stewart for allegedly violating the special administrative measures that were set in place, and her dealing with and her zealous representation of her client, Sheikh Abdul-Rahman. The idea of the U.S. assurances, to what extent, in some ways you've already commented on that and the whole essence of the U.S. betrayal of the press not only the prosecution of Julian Assange, what occurred in the imprisonment and torture of Chelsea Manning, who was part of the revelations of the dirty war that were published by WikiLeaks that were going on in the Middle East. So how do you evaluate the legitimacy or even the issues of, well, don't worry, we will protect him, since that was largely to mitigate the positioning of the U.S. as to the extradition? Don't worry, we'll have a kinder and friendlier gulag.
The U.S. can't be trusted when it makes this kind of assurance. One of the other assurances that Biden is making on appeal is if Assange gets extradited to the U.S. and convicted and sentenced to prison, we won't object to him serving his sentence in Australia. Of course, Australia hasn't consented, but nevertheless. At the appeals hearing, one of the defense attorneys for Assange cited a case where the U.S. reneged on its assurances that a Spanish drug trafficker, David Mendoza Herrarte, could serve his prison sentence in Spain if he was first extradited to the U.S. for trial. So he was extradited to the U.S. for trial, but he was never sent to Spain, and the U.S. said, well, it was just the prosecutor who gave the assurances that Mendoza could apply for a transfer to Spain, but the Department of Justice denied the application. So basically lies. In the Chelsea Manning case that you bring up, and of course Chelsea Manning is the whistleblower who provided these files and documents to WikiLeaks, which were then published, Chelsea Manning was subjected to cruel, inhuman, and degrading treatment and probably torture. The UN Special Rapporteur on Torture wasn't given complete access to her, so wasn't able to conclude definitively it was torture, but she was held in solitary confinement for 11 months, which amounts to torture in general. It does amount to torture and has been found to amount to torture. And Chelsea Manning was made to stand nude for inspection, also humiliating and degrading treatment at a minimum, in violation of the Convention Against Torture and Other Cruel, Inhuman, or Degrading Treatment or Punishment. I just don't think that the U.S. government, these assurances, can be trusted as far as you can throw them. Certainly, the Assange defense team has been arguing that. Hopefully, the high court judges will agree.
This would all be a red herring in any event. Our position is certainly people should tell Merrick Garland that the charges should be dropped. You have already indicated to us that it will be several weeks before the High Court issues its ruling on Biden's appeal. In the meantime, tell us about the kind of international support that Julian Assange has been getting, and then reiterate how this is a bellwether for the future of investigative journalism. And I, again, go back and say that this is the creation, really, of WikiLeaks. The nature of their reportage really takes us back to some of the earliest and remarkable developments in media since the Gutenberg Press first came into being, since there is frequently a denial that Julian Assange is a journalist or that WikiLeaks is indeed a media outlet. Just take us through those final things that we need to be politically versed in and astute about as to the international support that he's gotten recently. He's picked up some more support because of the revelations of the CIA's efforts to either kidnap or poison or kill Assange. But tell us about that.
More than two dozen press freedom, civil liberties, and international human rights groups, as well as people throughout the world, are protesting the persecution of Julian Assange. I am on the National Advisory Board of AssangeDefense.org. The three co-chairs are Daniel Ellsberg, Noam Chomsky, and Alice Walker. There are branches of Assange Defense all over the country. I am affiliated with the Southern California branch, and we do all kinds of activities. There have been protests. There have been programs from hip-hop to Julian Assange, the First Amendment issues. I would strongly urge people to go to AssangeDefense.org, where there is tremendous information about the case. Also, people should let Merrick Garland and the Department of Justice, the Attorney General Merrick Garland, who is the head of the Department of Justice, and the White House know how they feel about this, because they do respond to public pressure. People should be writing op-eds, writing letters to the editor. It's easy to get get them published. You just peg it to a news story or an editorial, keep it under 150 or 200 words, and even if your letter doesn't get published, it will help other letters from the same position get published because they count them up. Agitation is really effective, and there have been people in the streets all over the world, not just in London, but in cities across the world, in support of Julian Assange because they understand what this case means. If Julian Assange is tried and convicted under the Espionage Act for practicing journalism, then investigative journalism, national security journalism, any journalist who wants to shine a light on secret wrongdoing and lawbreaking by the U.S. government is at risk. It's going to chill the First Amendment freedom of the press, and it is a very, very disturbing, alarming prospect.
Just finally, the positioning at this point of the Biden administration, you've already commented somewhat, but what do you say about the continuing persecution and prosecution by the U.S. government of Julian Assange, not just as it relates to media, which is extraordinarily important, but what does it say about the U.S. worldview and disposition on war? And I'm saying this to you in particular as somebody who has testified before Congress on issues of torture and the like, and written and discussed the drone wars. Where is the tie-in? What does this say about the U.S. positioning on militarism in the world community, really?
Julian Assange is being targeted for revealing evidence of U.S. war crimes, but how many U.S. leaders, CIA and military leaders, who participated in the illegal invasions of Iraq and Afghanistan and the widespread program of torture and abuse and extraordinary rendition in the CIA black sites and the continuing illegal drone wars that Obama really took to a zenith and Trump expanded and Biden is continuing, none of them have been held accountable. In fact, when Obama was coming into office for the first time, he was asked on national television about prosecuting members of the Bush administration for torture, and he said, you know, we did torture some folks, but we have to look forward, not backward, mealy-mouthing around, and nobody has been prosecuted. Eric Holder, the attorney general under Obama, investigated two of the most egregious torture and murders in Afghanistan and Iraq and decided not to prosecute. So there is no accountability for the real war criminals, but the persecution of Julian Assange is just the tip of the iceberg if this is allowed to go forward, if he is extradited to the U.S. and tried under the Espionage Act. It's a very, very frightening occurrence. People need to pressure their Congress members and the White House to hold the real war criminals accountable. And of course, the defense contractors, many congresspersons are in the pocket of defense contractors, and it's big business, this U.S. militarism. Many of them are not about to do anything about it. Power does not concede anything without a demand, and that's no truer than it is now.
I've been speaking with Marjorie Cohn and urge the reading of her latest books, Drones and Targeted Killing, Legal, Moral, and Geopolitical Issues, and The United States and Torture, Interrogation, Incarceration, and Abuse. This has been Building Bridges with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg. Educate, agitate, and organize for the empowerment of we the people, for another world is possible.